You're welcome back to the news at one. EU leaders are meeting in Brussels, with the talks expected to be dominated by immigration. Some leaders want to speed up the implementation of the new migration pact. There have also been solo runs from Italy, which has started processing asylum seekers in Albania, and Poland, which says it's no longer considering new asylum applications. Our Europe editor Tony Connolly is on the line from Brussels. Tony, increasingly there's this sense of countries pursuing their own agenda on immigration. So what are the leaders talking about today?
That's true, Rachel. You mentioned Poland there, and they have said they're going to stop asylum applications coming across from their eastern border from Belarus. Now, that's because they say that the Belarusian government is weaponizing migrants, flying them into Belarus and then sending them up to the Polish border to cross in there. So they say that this is a different kind of asylum and migration issue. Germany as well has been imposing border checks on its borders because of the migration issue. So there's definitely a shift in the debate, and that reflects, I think, the gains that were made by the hard right, the populist right, in the European elections. And quite a few European governments now have far right or radical right parties in power, and there are issues now being discussed at EU level that probably weren't being discussed in the same tone maybe 3 or 4 years ago. Now, we asked the Taoiseach this morning when he arrived at the meeting, would he consider these kind of innovative solutions, which President Ursula von der Leyen of the Commission has talked about, where you essentially outsource the problem. You perhaps have a deportation hub in a third country, perhaps the Western Balkans. And as you mentioned, Italy has already got an agreement with Albania whereby males are picked up in the Mediterranean and processed not on Italian soil, but on Albanian soil, but by Italian migration officials. And here's what the Taoiseach had to say.
We are facing such a scale of challenge when it comes to migration. Of course, we should always be willing to consider innovative solutions once they are grounded in that. So I'm here to listen today. I think the priority should be to see how we can make the Asylum and Migration Pact a real success. I welcome in President von der Leyen's letter to leaders a reference to trying to accelerate elements of it. I hope we'll have an opportunity to tease through today what those accelerated elements might look like, because our people are looking for solutions now. And I think anything the European Union can do collectively to bring forward some parts of the pact, I think would be good progress.
Simon Harris speaking there. Tony, interesting to hear what he had to say. I mean, are there likely to be any decisions this week?
Not really, Rachel, but I suppose the fact that they are ventilating these ideas about perhaps outsourcing the migration question to neighbouring countries, and everyone's looking at this Albania model as a possible example that could be replicated. But at the same time, for example, Olaf Scholz, the German Chancellor, has said, look, this centre that was built in Albania for the Italian government can process perhaps 3,000 asylum applicants a year. He said last year 300,000 people entered Germany from outside, so that wouldn't be a model that would simply work for Germany. Other people like Kyriakos Mitsotakis, the Greek Prime Minister, saying, look, Europe needs migrant workers. They need both skilled and unskilled workers because the population in Europe is shrinking, it's aging. So, you know, that should not be thrown out with the bathwater as well. But again, the fact that they're discussing these issues on these terms is a new development.
The Ukrainian leader Volodymyr Zelensky is in Brussels for this summit. What's he seeking, and what are EU leaders likely to say to him?
Well, he's here to present what's being called his victory plan or his peace plan. Now, it's a 5-point plan to end the war in Ukraine. He's already presented it to the Ukrainian Parliament. There are 5 points. There are 3 secret annexes, but essentially, It's a mix of security guarantees for Ukraine, a promise that Ukraine will join NATO, and the new Secretary General of NATO, Mark Rutte, said this morning that that would be the case. He just couldn't say when. He's looking for what's called a non-nuclear strategic deterrent in Ukraine. So, you know, a host of very powerful weapons that would ensure that if there is a ceasefire and a peace process, Russia won't simply regroup and then attack Ukraine again. Also looking for the ability for Ukraine to use long-range weapons to strike targets inside Russia, and also to have a much more solid economic footing with financial support from the European Union and the G7 and so on. And so on. That has obviously already been flowing over the past couple of years. Now, a lot of these requests are more military requests that don't necessarily pertain to the European Union, but he's again looking for political and moral support for his peace plan.
At the same time, Tony, there's little sign of any end to the blood loss in the Middle East. Is what's happening there on the agenda today?
It is, yeah. There's going to be a big discussion today, Rachel, on the Middle East as well. Now, the Taoiseach, Simon Harris, has been speaking this morning to the Spanish Prime Minister, Pedro Sanchez, and the Italian Prime Minister, Giorgia Meloni, because both those countries have large contingents in UNIFIL in South Lebanon, and all three have agreed that troops there need to be protected and that Israel had to respect its international law obligations. Separately, in his discussion with Pedro Sanchez, the Spanish Prime Minister, they have once again raised this question that the EU as a whole should examine the EU-Israel Association Agreement, the trade and political agreement between the EU and Israel, for possible breaches of the human rights clause in that agreement. Again, this is something that both Spain and Ireland have been pushing for months. It simply hasn't got much traction at EU level because it requires consensus and unanimity, and there are simply too many countries who are not prepared to go down that road because they are more inclined to be supportive of Israel.
Tony, thank you. That was our Europe editor, Tony Connolly, in Brussels.